This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Despite going down big a second time against the Phoenix Suns, the Rockets find themselves fighting their way back into this game, but they ultimately fall 126-120, falling to 14-40 on the season, which now has them tied for the worst record in the NBA with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are also 14-40 on the season. Tanksters everywhere, rejoice. What is up? And welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and the Athletic's Ali Kambijani each week live to get in on the action. We'll be going live Tuesday night, 9 o'clock this week, 9 p.m. Central Time. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. This game, I really wanted them to win this one. Like, there's some of them where I'm just like, I kind of like, I'm looking at them and I'm like, eh, like I could, there's not like an emotional reason to win this one. I wanted them to win this one because they were so close to winning the first game against the Suns and because they fought back from a deficit in that one. And it was, I mean, we basically saw the same story again play out in this one where the Rockets were down by as many as 24, I believe. And they wound up being able to fight back and get within, you know, pretty much within striking distance. Yeah, biggest lead for the Suns was 24. Biggest lead for the Rockets was 5. But they were kind of able to fight their way back into this one. And we're going to hear from Coach Silas. We'll hear from Kevin Porter Jr. We will hear from Christian Wood, as well as Armoni Brooks, about this game, because there was a lot to be excited about in this game. I mentioned Armoni Brooks last there, but I mean, he was on fire in the fourth quarter of this game. And so we're going to hear from him and discuss that in the final segment. We'll hear from Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood in this segment. We'll hear from Coach Silas in segment two. But initial reaction to this game, Kevin Porter Jr., his passing chops, again, continue to be on display. A new career high in assists for Kevin Porter Jr. Finished the game 22 points, 5 rebounds, 14 assists, had 2 steals, did have 4 turnovers, but that's to be expected when you're handling the rock as much as he does. Shot 7 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 8 from behind the arc, and then 5 of 6 at the charity stripe. So a really solid all-around game for Kevin Porter Jr. Maybe, honestly, maybe his best all-around game as a Rocket. You know, I would need to go back and like comb through his previous games to decide, is this really his best all-around game? But he was really out there wheeling and dealing, you know, really steering the offense during this game. Let's hear what he had to say after this one.
I feel I've been getting better each and every game. And, you know, you're going to have those games in between where you're off or, you know, things don't feel right, but it's a long season, so that's going to happen either or. But I feel good. You know, I'm just trying to get some wins, trying to do everything I can, be a playmaker, be a scorer, and be everything I can for my guys so I can get some wins. More reps at anything, you're going to get better. Everything's going to be more easier. You know, it's just like repping threes out. Shoot 1,000 threes a game, you know. So, I mean, shoot 1,000 threes. When you get in the game, you're going to feel good. So I keep playing point. I'm going to get better every each and every game. So
So Kevin Porter Jr. talking about getting those reps in as a point guard, how important that is for him, and you know, kind of just getting acclimated to that role in this Rockets offense. And then Christian Wood walked away from this one, 25 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, no blocks in this one. And that's the area of his game that has been kind of sorely missing since coming back from the ankle injuries. He doesn't have that quick bounce, that explosiveness. And so defensively, he hasn't been able to be that weak side shot blocker or just, you know, be as aggressive going up against some of the opposing bigs that he plays against on a nightly basis. But 10 to 15 shooting, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, 2 of 3 at the charity stripe. Probably Christian Wood's best game in a handful of games. Just a really strong performance from him, especially going up against another dominant big like Ayton, who finished the game with just 18 points and 8 rebounds. Now, granted, Ayton didn't exactly have a lot of rebounds to grab because the Suns hit everything under. Just, it was ridiculous. No, but it was great to see Christian Wood being aggressive in there. There were multiple plays where he was, you know, bodying the Suns' bigs to really fight for rebounds. And you could see some tenacity out of him that we haven't seen or that's maybe been missing as of late. But even, you know, I think as well as the team performed offensively in this game, because they really did, they had a strong overall game offensively. They shot over 50% from the floor. They shot over 40% from behind the arc, 17 of 42. They shot 79% from the free throw line, 15 of 19 there. For all intents and purposes, they played just well enough to win this game offensively, but their shortcomings were on defense, and Christian Wood said as much in his post-game presser.
It's tough, especially, you know, when they come out and they hit 18 threes. It's hard to pull back from something like that, especially, you know, I'm still proud of our resilience as a team. Second half, we started running them off the line. We started doing a better job defensively. We were talking the rotations, but it has to be like that for the whole game and not just, you know, one half. Everybody was just a step slow in communication, especially off the blitzes and the double team. Our rotations were a little late, even at times with me, I was a little late in the rotation, but it's all communication. Once we do that, you know, like we did second half, you know, things start pulling together. We're a hard team to beat, but we have to do that to start it again.
So Christian Wood talking about some of the defensive rotation, something that I highlighted during the game. It's just, you know, and we'll hear Steven Silas, you know, talk about it a little bit as well. But you know, that's just something that you see where either they're a step too slow or just slight miscommunications here and there. And then you couple that with the fact that the Suns shot about 1,000% from behind the three-point line. And this is, you know, this is the type of game that you get, the type of deficit that builds up. I mean, they didn't even have their trademark like disappearing act in the second quarter. The Suns were just dominant in that quarter. So like, let me pull up quarter two. The Suns had 43 points in the second quarter. They shot 12 of 16 from behind the three-point line. That is 75%. That is unbelievable. They just, everything that they threw up was going on. Jay Crowder had a career high at halftime. 26 points he scored by halftime. It was ridiculous. Shot 5 of 5 from 3 in that quarter. Mikal Bridges hit a 3. Paul Payne, Saric, I mean, it just, everybody was hitting threes. And then Javon Carter. Who's Javon Carter? Is he the Max Strus of Phoenix, Arizona? I'm going to say yes. So anyways, that was painful to see. But again, the Rockets' second quarter wasn't a bad second quarter. They had 29 points. They shot 5 of 11 from 3. That's 45%. It's just not 75%. So offensively, things were looking good for them. The one area that I was a little bit perplexed by earlier on in this game, and then they kind of adjusted as the game went on, is it felt like they were running almost zero pick and roll early in this game, specifically with John Wall and Christian Wood. And then there was a few plays where they finally did start running, you know, some effective pick and roll with Wood and Wall, and then Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. So that was kind of nice to see, because that, to me, should be the bread and butter of this Rockets offense. Obviously, the five-out spacing is really important. Getting Christian Wood off the catch is important, but also getting him some easy opportunities at the rim while he's rolling. And that's exactly what Kevin Porter Jr. and John Wall did as the game kind of progressed. a couple of those assists from Kevin Porter Jr. coming by way of Christian Wood rolling hard to the rim. But John Wall, after having a few really impressive performances, this one he kind of struggled offensively. He 13 points, 2 rebounds, did have 8 assists, but he also had 5 turnovers. Just shot 5 of 20 from the floor, 3 of 10 from behind the arc. So he is willingly launching those threes as if he were one Steph Curry and not converting on all of them. I mean, if he had hit one more three, he's shooting 40%, so it's not the end of the world. But I'd like to see him be a little bit less inclined to shoot the ball. And this is the same, you know, push and pull that we've had with John Wall through much of this early season, or I can't say early season anymore, through much of this overall season is, you know, we want to see him be more of a playmaker, more of a facilitator, more of a floor general, and not so much the guy who's taking all the shots, because there's plenty of other guys on this roster who can take all the shots. So with that, I want to talk, I want to continue into the commentary from Coach Steven Silas, talk about some of the defensive issues in this game, couple other components from this one, and we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rockets once a week with the Athletic's Ali Khambijani every Tuesday night at 9 p.m., which means, yes, you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to here every single day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the biggest news and rumors. So go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile and link your Twitter, and then join the NBA group for the latest league updates. You can follow me at JT Gatlin, and then be sure to follow AliKhan at Rockets_insider. That way you're notified when our room goes live. Can't wait to see you on the app. Be sure to check it out. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Now, look, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which is kind of unfair, right? RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news that you need in just under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen to this podcast, wherever you are, hopefully, subscribed to this podcast. Now, I should have led with this in the first segment, but the injuries continue to mount for the Houston Rockets. So not only is Sterling Brown out, although he is listed day to day, so hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. DJ Augustine rolled his ankle pretty severely in this game, trying to fight to get back in transition. Rolls his ankle, kind of stepped on, I forget if he stepped on his own shoe or one of the, you know, shoes of the of an opposing Phoenix Suns player, but rolled his ankle really badly, you know, was in a lot of pain on the floor, had to be helped off by Keith Jones. Not great for DJ Augustine. Prayers up for him. Hopefully, you know, it's nothing too serious, a speedy recovery, but this Rockets team, the hits just keep coming, and it's painful. But they did, in this game, again, going down by as many as 24, they really fought back, and it wasn't so much that they were doing things wrong in the first half. They just weren't doing them with enough effort, and that was something that I commented on throughout the game, and that's something that Steven Silas highlighted post-game, so let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, there was over-helped which are sometimes almost as bad as no help. And then it was like a chain reaction. There would be a mistake that led to one rotation to the next rotation, and then we would be standing for the third rotation. And against a team like this, you have to be clean on the basketball, so you're not giving angles. So it wasn't even like pick and rolls. There was transition ones, as I kind of alluded to before the game, that the transition threes are going to be a key. And then the driving kicks, where they're able to drive the ball into the paint, and then it's the chain reaction, which we rectified in the second half. I mean, we tried harder, did better, made a couple adjustments, and did a lot better job of putting forth the effort needed to play good basketball, especially on the defensive end against this team. I mean, you know, they're obviously one of the top teams in the West, and what they do is make threes, and we allowed them to do what they do in the first half, partly because we were making mistakes. And we watched some film at halftime, cleaned up some of those mistakes, but I think you saw us just kind of dive in a little bit more and try a little bit harder in the second half, to the point where we held them to 45 points in the second half, which I'm proud of the guys for fighting back for. It was more doing what we said correctly. And, you know, there was a couple of little adjustments that we made to stay home. But overall, it was more about trying harder.
And that was head coach Steven Silas discussing some of these shortcomings from this game, albeit the fact that, you know, again, despite the shortcomings in the first half, you know, there's a certain combination of there was, you know, miscommunications just defensively. And I think Silas did a great job of it, you know, illustrating the point of, you know, overhelping is sometimes just as bad as not helping. And, you know, there were times in this game where you'd see two guys rotating towards an open shooter, and then that open shooter just has to kick the ball to the next guy, and then that guy has a wide open shot because the rotations were completely off. And so that's an area where when they don't have like legitimate practice time to be able to refine these things, and they have to just kind of, you know, deal with them on a game-by-game basis as opposed to actually getting legit practice time in to really work on these types of things, to work on their defensive schemes, to work on their rotations, to understand who's supposed to go where and all of this, it's tough. And so that's why I find a lot of sympathy, but at the same time, you know, they were able to go back in at halftime and you know, point out here's where we need to slightly adjust, tweak this a little bit. They didn't change up their defensive scheme. They just made sure to do what they were trying to do in the first half the correct way, and it worked. I mean, they held the Suns to 45 second half points. Now, some of that can be attributed to the fact that the Suns, you know, emptied the clip in the first half, sure, but the defense was noticeably better. Like, the effort level in that third quarter was substantially better, especially like just, and they carried that through the entire second half. But when you go down by as many as 24, that's just a really, really hard deficit to dig yourself out of. And the Rockets gave themselves a chance. They were very much within striking distance down the stretch of this game. And, you know, they just looking down the lineup here, pretty much everybody on the Rockets team that played in this game was impactful in a strong way, minus John Wall and Avery Bradley. And I'll also say, and minus DJ Augustine, because unfortunately, you know, he had to check out after just 3 minutes of run because of the ankle injury. And even John Wall, despite his ineffectiveness, you know, you can't ignore the fact that he did have 8 assists. You know, he did have his 13 points, however inefficiently he scored them. But, you know, it was a bad game for John Wall. It was ineffective, almost non-existent game for Avery Bradley. He hit 1 3-pointer. He had a loose ball that he saved going out of bounds. He had a couple boards and assist, but just, you know, largely his presence wasn't super felt in this game. But then you go back up to the top of the list, go back to the starters. Kelly Olynyk, 16 points, 8 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, 6 of 10 shooting overall for the night. Jayshon Tate, another night where you look down his stat line and he did just a little bit of everything. 10 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals, had a block, only 1 turnover. Did miss both of his 3-point attempts, but he did shoot 4 of 7 from the floor and then 2 of 2 from the charity stripe. And then you go off the bench, DJ Wilson and KJ Martin Jr. I did it again. Can't say KJ Martin Jr. It's just KJ Martin. I don't know why I do that. But DJ Wilson with 8 points off the bench, 6 rebounds, looked really good in his limited run. Hit a step back 3, which was kind of like out of pocket, like out of nowhere, just random. And then KJ Martin, 9 points, 7 rebounds, really aggressive on the glass. Hit a 3, 3 of 4 shooting, like just, you know, great contributions all around from everybody that was in this game, minus the 2 aforementioned guys. And again, they were led by Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. And I will say that there was, you know, some of the, you know, especially in the first half, a little bit of that, you know, distractions type mentality thing where, you know, KPJ would drive to the rim or Christian Wood would be, you know, down low trying to rise up for a shot. And, you know, one of them would think that they got fouled and they're looking around for a call or, you know, or Kevin Porter Jr., you know, misses a 3-point shot or misses a shot at the rim. And you can see, like, watch him. He's visibly frustrated with himself after some of these, you know, after a turnover or after a miss or after a play where he thinks he should have gotten a foul call. And he's spending a couple seconds being frustrated rather than just tucking his head back down and getting back in transition. And there weren't too many times this game where that burned the Rockets, unlike the Warriors game where they gave up 27 fast break points. But that's not a good habit to be in. And that's a habit that Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. both need to grow out of, is they need to learn to live with themselves. They need to learn to live with a missed shot or to live with the fact that they didn't get the whistle. Because at the end of the day, it's so much more compounded if not only do you miss the shot or turn the ball over or don't get the foul call, and then you give up an easy basket on the other end because you're busy complaining to a referee or, you know, or mad at yourself. You know, again, you can see Kevin Porter Jr. after some of his shots, he's like pounding his head like, ah, I'm an idiot, like I shouldn't have done that or whatever. And like, great, like you can be upset with yourself, but be upset with yourself like during a dead ball, or like be upset with yourself like after the game, or be upset with yourself as you're running back in transition. But there's no need to like display that and waste time when the opposing teams are, you know, running and gunning and trying to get an easy opportunity. There were points in this game where there were a couple, you know, mismatches because the Rockets weren't getting back in transition properly, where, you know, like they'd run back and they didn't get matched up quickly enough. So like Christian Wood is matched up on like Chris Paul or something. And that's just an immediate matchup advantage for the Phoenix Suns. So getting back in transition is something that, and I need to amend what I said in the first episode this week, in the most recent episode, because I said that's not a coaching thing, it's not a talent thing, it's an effort thing, and that's still very much true. But from a coaching's perspective, it does involve the coaching in the sense that Steven Silas needs to get his guys to buy in to running back in transition, right? And that's not like I'm not trying to say that like Silas has like lost the locker room or anything like that, but that's definitely something where, you know, he needs to impress upon them the need to get back in transition, to be set, to get their shell defense, you know, set up in the half court so that they aren't giving up those easy transition opportunities to opposing teams. Because at the end of the day, especially against the better teams in the league, you know, the Suns, who they played twice now in the span of a week, you cannot give a team like that easy opportunities because they're already very lethal when it comes to scoring the basketball. So when you give them easy opportunities on top of the fact that they're already elite at what they do, then it's going to be really, really hard to beat that team. And yet the Rockets still managed to come away and almost beat the Suns twice, which Christian Wood also said in his postgame presser, you know, he doesn't believe in moral victories. And so look, normally I'm not a fan of moral victories, but like at this point in the season, moral victories is all we have. So I'm going to like, you know, change my mentality a little bit towards moral victories and say that it's great that we've seen the Rockets be this level of competitive multiple times with some of the upper echelon teams of the NBA. You know, it gives me hope for what this team could look like, you know, after a true offseason, a true training camp, you know, bringing in a potential young prospect from this year's draft, potentially making a move or two in the offseason, bringing back some of the veteran pieces, getting guys back in the lineup like David Nwaba, who was such a big part of what the Rockets were doing earlier this season, getting him back in the fold and in the rotation. Hopefully they can re-sign him. You know, the fact that they did all this without Sterling Brown in the lineup or without DJ Augustine, you know, it's impressive. So coming up, I want to talk about the guy who, you know what, I'm calling it now. Armani Brooks is the Rockets player of the game, all right? Because they were getting absolutely dusted by the Suns until Armani Brooks came in and torched them to the tune of 14 points in 14 minutes. So he's your Rockets player of the game. We're going to talk about him coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football's done for, sure, but NBA is still going strong. We got the playoffs right around the corner. Not so much for the Rockets, but other teams. We've also got NHL in full swing, and MLB just started up. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. So head over to the website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Now, Armani Brooks. For those of you who do not know, Armani Brooks, this is nothing new for Armani Brooks. I had the pleasure of watching him grow and covering him when I was the beat writer for men's basketball, when I was first getting started in my journalism career. I don't know if it's a journalism career anymore, but whatever it is, when I first started getting, you know, involved in sports media, that was the team that I got to cover, the team that went to the Sweet 16. It was awesome. And Armani has been doing this for a minute, right? He heats up so quickly. He refers to himself and his teammates refer to him as a microwave scorer. And that's true, right? He is a microwave guy. He heats up in a matter of seconds. He gets that one shot to go in and then he just starts taking off. So let's hear from him and what he, you know, what his thoughts were after this game where he dropped it's a career high. So, I mean, you know, his first NBA points, but he, you know, career high, first game, 14 points. That's pretty solid for a guy on a two-way deal. So let's hear what Armani Brooks had to say after this one.
Honestly, I'm still upset we lost because we got within, you know, striking distance, coming back, making a comeback. But, you know, it feels good to just be able to get out there and just get some experience, get some minutes under my belt and, you know, try to help the team make a run to come back and get this W. Not being able to practice, your teammates don't really know who you are as a player. They just kind of can go off word of mouth. But being able to get out there and just show them that I'm capable of, you know, playing at this level or at least, you know, producing some is a great motivational thing. And it's going to keep me going and it's going to just continue to build confidence within myself and my teammate. I think my oh wow moment was just checking in the game and seeing Chris Paul come into the game. It was kind of like, wow, like this is Chris Paul in front of me. And then Devin Booker checked into the game. I'm like, bro, like I've been watching these players for years and being on the same floor as them is kind of crazy. But you really can't get too starstruck in the moment. You got to just, you know, go out there and execute and produce for the team.
That oh wow moment indeed for Armani Brooks, I should say, going up against Chris Paul and Devin Booker and whatnot. And, you know, I do think that it's unfortunate that the Rockets lost this game. And there's no way that he could have done it, right? And it's similar to the whole, like, why is Steven Silas still playing PJ Tucker? Why is he still starting? Why is he still playing so many minutes? You know, there's a part of me that wishes that Steven Silas would have just benched John Wall, right? Like that youthful unit that was playing so well out there on the court, they were they were the ones that really got the Rockets back into this game. And it could have been like it could have been Harden game five with Kevin McHale, right? Just, you know, bench your star player, let the guys who actually got you back into the game continue to play. I did think it was very cool of Steven Silas to leave Armani Brooks in the game to keep him out there because of how important he was to that run, getting the Rockets back into the game. That was a nice touch by Steven Silas. But I really think that if the Rockets had placed Jayshon Tate back out there in place of John Wall and run with a lineup of Kevin Porter Jr., Armani Brooks, Jayshon Tate, Kelly Olynyk, and Christian Wood to close out the game, that things might have looked a little bit different. John Wall definitely forced a couple things down the stretch and didn't hit any of it, unfortunately. Kelly Olynyk forced a 3-2 that I thought was a little questionable. And you know, I was disappointed that they didn't actively look to get Armani Brooks more looks down the stretch. Now, I will say that there was a play where Kelly Olynyk set a pin down screen and rolled towards the basket afterwards and got the pass down low, didn't catch it super cleanly, but then kind of backed down his defender and then just kind of threw up a little baby hook, and he did make that shot. I thought that that play was actually engineered for Armani Brooks because it looked, it wasn't like an elevator screen, because that's not the right X's and O's terminology. Damn it, Alicon, where are you? I need help. No, but it looked like a screen that was set to get Armani Brooks a wide open three at the top of the key, because I was watching the other side of that play as it developed. And I forget if it was Wall or Kevin Porter Jr. who was handling the rock and who made the pass, the entry pass down low to Kelly Olynyk in that moment. But they just, I don't think they saw that Armani Brooks, you know, or they just chose not to go that route on that play. Because again, these play calls, right, they have so many different options built within the plays, you know, and then you have these branches that segue off of these other options, and you just kind of read and react and see how the defense handled it. And the Kelly Olynyk read was the right read there, but it's not like they weren't trying to get Armani Brooks another good look at a three. I just think that they should have made a bit more of a concerted effort to get him some shots a little bit further down the stretch, because again, he was on fire in this game. And so that was great to see. If you've been a fan of University of Houston Cougars basketball, you know all about Armani Brooks. If you don't, now you're going to get to enjoy him as a Houston Rocket. He's an absolute sniper, and it's going to be great to see how he develops with this Rockets young core. But because the Rockets did lose, and because they are now the holders, or I guess tied for the worst record in the NBA, you know what that means. We got to do a tankathon spin, because we got to see where their odds are now that they are tied for the worst record in the association. So here we go. Let's see what we get. Ooh, okay. Rockets drop one spot, and they are now the holders of the second overall pick, so they do retain their pick. Washington jumps up six spots to the number one overall spot, taking more than likely Cade Cunningham first overall. Minnesota keeps their pick at number three. Chicago jumps up six spots to number four. And the Detroit Pistons fall all the way down to number five. Yeah, not a great look for them, man. So yeah, Rockets keep their pick. And this will be interesting to see where their record actually shakes out. But for all the tanksters out there, please rejoice, as the Rockets are now tied for the worst record in the association. But for today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.